Good morning, church. And Merry Christmas. Oh, over here, like, I think I can say that over here. Like, I'm not so sure. But anyways, Merry Christmas to you. I hope you have a wonderful holiday and you've all been good. And anyways, you have great family ties. I wanted to express to you a couple of things as far as going on in my life personally, just so you are up to speed. So a couple of weeks, last week, we did not have service because of that big storm that came through. But a couple of weeks ago, I was away at a men's retreat in Washington, D.C. So in October, my wife and I went to a marriage conference, and in November, went to another one from a different organization, and then this men's conference. And the whole purpose of going, and that is to get a better understanding of marriage, to get a better understanding of men's issues, and hopefully being able to teach these things to the church here. So that's the goal. I'm planning to go away and you know, get some additional knowledge in certain areas, and that was just my focus at the end of this year. And praise God that those opportunities came about. So I am grateful that has happened, that opportunity. Another thing I want you to be aware of, and that is, and just praise God for this. You guys have been praying for my daughter Brianna faithfully, diligently, and this past week she let us know that she was accepted into a three-quarter house. Praise God for that. And that she won't move there until beginning of February. She's still finished up her halfway house. But then this past week, she was able to get a job also, which is wonderful. So when she goes to a three-quarter house, she does have to pay a portion of the rent and food and all that stuff. So that becomes just, the you know, again, more independence for her. And just we're grateful where she is right now, and she's doing just wonderfully well. So keep praying for her. Amen is right. And then another one on the other end of the spectrum, again, dealing with family. A few weeks back when Ryan, my son-in-law, preached, you guys remember that? Remember what he talked about? I'll tell him you said no. Anyways, even if you did, I'd still tell him no. You don't have to do that. You can tell me everything he said, and I'm like, nope. Ryan, I don't remember you at all. Well, I think he revealed that he and Brittany were expecting a second. Well, there's some concern with the baby. And a few weeks back when they had an ultrasound done, it showed that there was a hole or a space in frontal part of the brain. And so they sent her to get another ultrasound at West Penn Hospital. She went there for the ultrasound, and the baby was in a bad position. But again, it's still showing an opening where there should be closure. So they recommended that they're going, they go tomorrow to Johns Hopkins. So I appreciate your prayers for them. I think Tuesday is their appointment, but they're going to stay overnight down there. And so Brittany and Ryan will be traveling down there for that. And we're praying that God will heal up this baby's brain. It's called CSP, cavum, septum, pellucidum, if I'm saying that right. I'm probably hacking that all up. The last word, that is. First two are okay. But anyways, it just has to do with that space. We're praying that God will close that up and the baby will be fine, because it can lead to blindness, bipolar, and probably some other health issues that I'm not aware of. So I wanted to just put that out there, give that to you. And lastly, just a reminder, lastly, and that is this. Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock, if you come early for Bible class, you can join me up here and have a time praying for everyone that comes through these doors, and also praying that God intervenes in our lives in an incredible way. So just a short time of prayer, reading some scripture, and having a good time. And if you want to come, that'd be great. Come a little bit early. That'd be wonderful. Tuesday mornings at 10 o'clock, unless otherwise notified, I have a prayer time, and you're all welcome to come. So you want to come on Tuesday morning at 10 o'clock, and it's not the typical kind of like, well, we go in a circle, we hold hands, and you pray that. It's going to be a fun time, a great time of asking God his blessing. So if you want to come, for men, for women, it's a great time to just cry out to the Lord and pray to him and seek his wisdom, his guidance, his intervention, because, you know, I can't change your hearts as much as I'd want to change your hearts, because there's a lot of hearts that need changed in this place, and I can't even change my own heart. But God can. And I need him more than anything to do that. So please come and participate. This past week was the first time that nobody showed up, and I'm okay with that. Because I might have seemed like a maniac. I was singing praises to God, praying up here and walking the building and stuff and just having a great time. I was wondering how that looked today, but hopefully, can you see that? All right. If you can't see it, move closer so I know who can't see it. I won't look. There'll be no shame in this. How to handle disrupted expectations. I'll have to tell you something. Two more things. Sorry. One is, while I was praying this morning, I felt led to say this to you. And I said it with the Bible class. So I feel God put this on my heart through the Holy Spirit. And I thought of, you know, the race, you know, the sprints. You can run a short sprint, run a distance race. And I asked the class a tough question. I said, what's the difference? Well, difference is distance. When you run a distance race, you don't put out all your energy, right? You pace yourself. Whenever it's a short race, you know, you see a finish line, whether it's 50 meters up or 100 meters up, you know, you can really get after it and run hard. You know, 200 meters, you might have to back off a little bit, but regardless, but you go out to a mile, 2 miles, a marathon, 26.2 miles, ultra marathon, you know you got to hold some reserve in the tank. The question I have for you, and that is, how are you living your life? How are you living your life for the Lord? Are you living your life for the Lord as if it's a distance race? Just take it easy. I don't want to get too excited about Jesus today, too fired up, too, you know, I'm going to hold back in my worship time, in my reading time and all that stuff because I got to pace myself. Because we're going to do it again next week. We're going to do it again next week and next week and next week. But as you well know, not one of us are guaranteed tomorrow. So maybe with greater intentionality and purpose that we start living this out so that when God provides us with opportunities to share, to invite, to talk to, that we say, well, I hope I see this person again next week. Or I hope that I get a chance to talk to him again. When the Lord has placed that opportunity before you to do it now. Is it scary? Yeah. But God will give you the words, the wisdom, and insight to move forward with that. And that leads me to this. Well, I had a different, if you read the bulletin at all the week before, the sermon title was different. The scripture was the same, but I believe that God wanted me to go a different direction. My wife and I were doing our morning reading and prayer time. We were going through this section, and I had to pause. Just pause because something really got after me, and I had to think about it. And that is what this lesson is for today. How do you to handle disrupted expectations? You know, the space between expectation and reality is misery. The space between expectation and reality, that space, is misery. Think about it. You have an expectation maybe of your spouse, an expectation of your kids, expectation that the sermon will be over soon, maybe 10 minutes, maybe 15 minutes. You have that expectation. But when the reality doesn't meet expectation, what happens? You start getting bothered. You start getting a little upset. You know, why can't my kids? Why can't my husband? Why can't my wife? Why can't? Why can't my boss? Why can't my coworker? Why can't? And so we live in this space of misery sometimes. What happens when you have dreams and those dreams aren't fulfilled the way that you intended? Those dreams where you think that life should be a certain way. We're going to get a life of Joseph in a different way, I think, today. At least I've never heard talked about before. Whenever you were single and you found that one, your wife to be, your husband to be, what went through your mind? What was your imagination for it? Hopefully you were thinking of, well, I want to marry this person. I want to spend eternity with this person. I want to be able to have a family with this person. All these things you start planning, thinking about. Well, I'm going to have this job. I'm going to have this career. Maybe my wife or maybe my husband will do this, this, and this. And all those things start coming into play. Well, you think about this. What happens when it doesn't work out the way that you intended? And that misery takes place. Do you live life bitter? Do you live it angry? Do you live it dejected? Do you live it upset? How do you live life when your expectations are disrupted? When it doesn't work out the way that it planned, that you planned it? And that gets us to the life of Joseph. Think about it. He is pledged, he is betrothed to be married to Mary. What's going on in his brain? Well, I'm a carpenter, I'm living life, I'm paying my bills, I want to have a home, I want to have a family. All of those things that he's probably going through like we would go through, right? He's no different than us. He walked in the flesh, but then he gets the news. And we'll go through the scripture in just a moment, but he gets the news. Mary's what? She's what? She's pregnant. He hasn't been with her. And so all of a sudden, those expectations that he had, those expectations that we're going to go down that road there, now he's thinking, I got to go down this road because my expectations just got disrupted. How do we handle life whenever life is disrupted? Our expectations are disrupted. We're going to take a look at this as we go through the scriptures. So take a look at this. Oh, you may have to get your Bibles out today if you can't see that, or move closer. It says this in verses 18 and 19. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. I love how Matthew gets into it. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, that is pledged to be to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. We read through that so quickly. We read through that without really any thought about it. Well, this happened, that happened. But think about it. His life of expectation. He's betrothed to be married. In other words, it's a legal arrangement. Money's been exchanged. Gifts been exchanged. She's going to be his. They just haven't consummated the marriage yet. And she's with the child. What do you think is going on in his brain? He's expecting this, but now the reality is over here with this. Wonder who she's been with. She's lying to me. The Holy Spirit? Yeah. Because I'm sure Mary shared that information with him, right? He probably thinks she's just lying about it. But what do we see in Joseph that's really interesting? Does he stomp his feet? Does he throw things? Does he scream at her? Nope. So this arrangement that had been taking place now comes crashing down. It says, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit, from the Holy Spirit. Her husband, Joseph, being a just man. He's a just man. And unwilling to put her to shame. You know, he could have made a mockery of her. He could make life miserable for her. But he decides he's going to divorce her and do it quietly. He doesn't want her to be humiliated. He doesn't want her to have people point fingers at her. He considers her character. Now think about this. I never really saw this before, but there is a connection between Joseph and Joseph. Let your mind go all the way back to the Old Testament in Genesis. We talked a bit about this morning and stuff, but let me ask you this question. Joseph, Jacob's son, the one that he loved, the one that the brothers tried to kill initially, but then sold him into slavery, right? All that taking place. Joseph, was he a just man? Was he an honorable man? Yes or no, church? How do you know? Oh, Potiphar, remember that situation? Potiphar's wife coming on to him, and it indicates it wasn't just one time, looking for opportunities to sleep with Joseph. But he had made up his mind, his resolve long ago, that he would not cross that line, that boundary. And so we see Joseph, Jacob's son, a man who is just, who is honorable. We see Joseph here, who was supposed to be married to Mary, and his concern is not about his feelings, his thoughts, and about humiliating her, but he just wants this to move in a different direction. A different direction. Joseph thought he was going to get married, but now he doesn't want to get married. So again, disrupted expectations. He thought he was going that way. Now he's going to go that way. I'm going to divorce her quietly. I'm going to live my life, and I'll probably find someone else to marry, right? Make sense? You follow along, say amen. All right, good. Some of you are with me. So let's get into now. There's twists and turns to this. This gets good. All right. And then starting in verse 20. But as he considered these things, he's thinking about, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a, what's it say? Dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save the people from their sins. So, I'm going to do this so you can see this. He's thinking he's going to get married. He thinks he's going to have a family. But now he finds that Mary's pregnant. He's going to go this direction and divorce her, right? He's going to go quietly, leave her alone. I can't believe it. He's thinking these things. He falls asleep. And what happens? An angel of the Lord appears and says, don't divorce her. Take her. Don't be afraid. Take her as your wife. For what's in her would happen is that she's pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Just like Mary said. Oh. As a matter of fact, as he says, we have this miraculous birth revealed to us. We also have revealed to us that Joseph is revealed to, and that is, she's going to have a son. You're going to name him Joseph, right? No. Thank you. I took a little while. Thank you, way in the back there. You're going to name him Jesus. Not Joseph. Why is it? Because Jesus, Yeshua, will save the people from their sins. He's going to save them. So this dream that he has is the first of many dreams in Joseph's life. Let me ask this question. Do you remember another Joseph in Genesis? Did he have any dreams? Do you remember the two dreams he had? One about the sheaf, his sheaf grows taller than his brothers, and his brothers' sheaves bow before him. And there's another one of the sun and the moon and the 11 stars, they bow down to him. His brothers don't like it. Even his dad, when he reveals a second dream, is like, oh, knock it off, son. I mean, who are you? You're my youngest. Yes, I love you more than the other ones. Yes, you have a bigger hand. Oh, whatever. He just doesn't like it. But the fact is that Joseph has dreams. He also is able to interpret dreams, which allows him to move up in the chain of command within Egypt whenever he ends up going down there. It's an interesting parallel to all this. So at this miraculous birth, he finds out that he's going to have a son, and his son is going to save them from their sins. So now he was going this direction. He's going to go this direction because he's once out of the relationship, but now he's back in the relationship. We have a family. She's pregnant with the Holy Spirit. I'm accepting this. I'll be the best dad I can be, right? Been there? Good. All right, let's move on in the scriptures. Verses 22 through 25. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, and that's Isaiah. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Hundreds of years before this is prophesied by Isaiah. Take that into your probability factor there. Oh, it's just luck, just a chance, it's God's providence over all of this, how he controls things. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. So whenever he wakes up from the dream, he doesn't debate it going, I wonder, maybe that chili I ate last night wasn't sitting right with me. Maybe I just had a bad dream. Maybe she's getting in my head about all this stuff. He does exactly what he's supposed to do. I guarantee you, the Lord has nudged you. The Lord has pushed you in certain directions for you to do something for him. And if you rationalize it, if you're like, you know, maybe I didn't hear that right. Maybe. Instead of saying, you know what, Lord, when I get up, I'm going to do this and fulfill what the Lord has placed before you, whether it's an opportunity, whether it's to be a blessing for someone, but to do these things for the advancement of the kingdom. So Joseph wakes up from this, and he does exactly what the angel says. Now, we're back over here. I'm going to have a family. I already have a son on the way. This is good news. I better get busy maybe building a bigger house. I'm a carpenter. I can do these. You understand this. Building the crib. All this stuff taking place. He's good with that. Disrupted expectations. He's over here. You ever been there where it's like, it's just going, things are just, I can't believe how good things are going. Well, says this. Now, when they had departed, stop there. When who departed? Who? Who was it? The wise men. So we take them into account. The wise men show up on the scene, and they come to Herod eventually and say, hey, by the way, we're here for, where's the king of the Jews? We saw a star rise, right? And what does Herod say? He's like, oh, Herod says, you know, when you find this baby, this king of the Jews, let me know where he is so I can worship him too. Well, they find the baby Jesus. They worship him. They do exactly what they say. They provide their gifts, their offerings. But in a dream, they warn him not to go back to Herod, right? In a dream, they warn him not to go back, and they don't go back to Herod. They leave. They depart. So that's why it says, now when they had departed, it doesn't say they went back up to see Herod because they didn't go to Herod. It says, now when they had departed, okay? It says this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Second dream for Joseph. Again, Joseph in Genesis in these dreams. And said, rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you. For Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him. And he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt. Now, let's take care of the back part of this. It says, when he woke up and stuff, he took the child and the mother, and they left for Egypt. Now, again, we're over here, right? We're over in this area. We're enjoying the family, expecting a baby, all these wonderful things. We're going to enjoy this. And then the angel shows up again and says what? Leave. Because Herod is looking to destroy your child. Herod wants to kill the baby Jesus. Picks up. No longer staying here. Going to head over here. Goes all the way to Egypt. You wonder along the way, that journey thing, like, all I want to do is have a family. You think about that? All I want to do, I just want to be left alone. I just want to have a family. I want to live life and just be okay. And sometimes God says, I'm going to disrupt your expectations. How will you handle that? And what will take place? So he's now going down to Egypt. He goes to a different country for protection. Where did Joseph go in Genesis? In Genesis, where did Joseph end up? Egypt. As a matter of fact, we read it in Genesis chapter 50 today. You know, what man intended for evil, God intended for good, right? You know that. But what it was to protect the people of Israel, that they could go down there and have food. And they multiplied down there, didn't they? They grew down there. They exploded with numbers and stuff, which, of course, caused they put into slavery and stuff. But the fact is that they went there for safety. And isn't it interesting that Joseph takes Mary and the baby Jesus to Egypt for safety? I just think it's a really cool parallel. Now, it says this. But when Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in the third dream to Joseph. When Joseph's afraid to fall asleep, like, my life is going to get disrupted again in a dream, in saying this, rise, take the child and mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead. And he rose and took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. He can go back home. Now you wonder, while he's over here in Egypt, while he's over here, you wonder how his business is thriving, his car, how he's living life. And maybe he's thinking, like, you know, I've established something here. I mean, I have roots here now, however long it would be. But he doesn't do that. He picks up, he heads back to where he was. That's a lot of back and forth, having disrupted expectations. Can you identify with that? Can you connect with that? So I was going through that. I can see that. It's just life. Where we may expect something, and it just doesn't work out, or there's, you know, something occurs, and all of a sudden we're going in a different direction. Sometimes we're running from something. Sometimes we're running into something. And it's just a disruption of what we expected. So he goes back to the land of Israel immediately. No complaining, no whining, and he does this faithfully. The third dream. There's one more. It says this. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned in a... he withdrew to the district of Galilee and went and lived in a city called Nazareth, so that what was spoken by the prophets might be fulfilled, that he would be called a Nazarene. Isn't it interesting how God weaves this all together to the point where he is called a Nazarene? Why? Because when he's going to go back where he was in Bethlehem, it's like, can't live there because of the king's son, Herod's son, Archelaus. So he has another dream, and his dream leads him to another place. So he was going this direction initially, tried to go that direction. He come back this direction. Then he goes back this direction. Now he's back over here, but he has to go to Nazareth because he knows it's still not safe. He's going to live his life there. So what do we see in Joseph's life? Well, Joseph was afraid of the king's son and reigning over Judea, so he ends up going there. And like most dads, husbands, you get an idea of what you want, of what life's going to be like, and it doesn't work out the way that you desire. He wants to raise his child free of trouble, free of problems, all of that stuff. But the Lord had plans to move them around. And the Lord gives him this final dream. We see God leading him, God guiding him, and this amazing plan unfolding to where he settles. This disrupted life is incredible of Joseph's. And it provides for us an example. And as I said to you, I want to talk about two things here. The amazing parallel between Joseph of the New Testament and Joseph, Jacob's son of the Old Testament. And that is this. Both spent time in Egypt. Jacob's son was to save the people of Israel. And he provided food for them during that time. Joseph would protect and bring back the baby, the savior of the world. And he is the one who would save mankind, not just Israel, but all mankind from our sins. Both men received dreams from God. And of course, Joseph, Jacob's son, was able to interpret dreams. The final thing I want to get to, and that is, how did Joseph handle these disruptions? I said, the space between expectation and reality is misery. Do you see him miserable at all there? Do you see the anger of Joseph come out? Do you see him pounding his fist and say, I can't believe this. One more change. I know this holiday season's a busy time for us, isn't it? Yeah, especially for the young parents and stuff. You got to go there. Your parents, in-laws, maybe friends gathering, on and on. The list goes, grandparents' house. Just one thing after another, after another, after another. What you're making, what you're baking, where you're going, where you have to go, on and on. The schedule that you try to keep up. Your holiday may be disrupted. And while you have those plans set up, those plans may get disrupted. What are you going to do? Honk your horn in traffic for the person who cut you off? scream at the person. My point being that Joseph doesn't do any of that. Why is it? Earlier on, it gives us a clue. The clue was Joseph is a just man. It doesn't say he's a perfect man. It doesn't say he doesn't feel anything. But whenever we go through these moments of disappointment, sadness, because expectation and reality, and we have that space that's causing us this discomfort, can you worship God? And this will be the litmus test for you. If you're able to worship God, then you're not living in the misery. You're not living in anger. But if you have trouble, difficulty in moving forward and living for God in those situations, well, you're allowing that misery to take hold of your life. Expectations are going to get disrupted at times. Our antidote to that is worship. Worship. Whenever the plans you had for your family and stuff, and they were disrupted, did that change who God is? Whenever Joseph had those disruptions, did that change who God is? See, understand this, that he is our rock. He is our refuge. He is the one that we can trust in. Well, we can try to trust in one another, but I guarantee you, we may let each other down at times. That's the reality. But God will never let us down. He will not leave us. He will not forsake us. Why is that? Because he loves you and he loves me. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. He doesn't say, Brian, you got to get it all right. Brian this or Brian that, and once you do, you can come to me. We celebrate the birth of Christ this time of year. I know people get into caught in the shopping and all that stuff, but the reality is that we celebrate the birth of Christ. So the songs are played that are happy and some serious, but they're tender and they're very meaningful. It's a beautiful time of year. It really is. It's a wonderful time of year. As a matter of fact, as a former atheist, this used to be my favorite time. Even though I didn't believe, even though I didn't accept it, even though I hate to say it, I made fun of, I spit and cursed my Lord and Savior. I love this time. Why is that? Because this is talked about a little more openly and understanding it. God may provide opportunities for you today, tomorrow, and next few days. Use those. But understand that there's beauty and there's power in this time of season. For God is providing us with opportunities. And I just want us to know that he gave his one and only son. He gave his one and only son. When you get caught up in gifts, the greatest gift you can give to God is you, because he died for you. If you are here today and you are not a child of God, if you are not a born-again believer in Jesus, today is your opportunity to get that relationship right, to come forward during the singing of the song, to confess Jesus is your Lord and Savior, and to be baptized in the Christ for the remission of your sins and be raised and walk in newness of life. That is the greatest gift you can give. Think, well, what can I give, God? Gold? Money? Yeah, give those things. But he wants you. He wants your very being, everything about you, to be surrendered to him. Or maybe you're here today and maybe you're living life as a Christian where you're running the long race. You're pacing yourself. Don't want to get too excited on Sunday mornings. Don't want to get too pumped up on Wednesday nights. Each day I kind of just coast a little bit. I'll pedal a little harder and then coast the rest of the day, because you got to save, because I have to live the next day for Jesus and the next day for Jesus. And that could be wearisome. Well, you're not guaranteed the next minute. So, How will you live for him? What decision will you make? And if you're living life where you're in it for the long game and not passionately, intentionally for him and need the prayers of the church, we want to pray for you, want to encourage you. We want to help draw you in to a greater relationship with Christ. Amen. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Won't you come as we stand and sing this song?